to the Beat Red podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories. You call up and tell your stories. We love it when you do that. We are here to laugh with you, to cry with you in a good way, to cringe with you, to drop our draws. Get in here. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie. Let's turn Beat Red. I love that you said drop our draws, not drop our jaws. I was like, we're dropping our draws.
We're dropping our jaws. This is a really safe space. You can see our privates.
You officially beat me. You officially beat me to the how was your week.
I think I was just really ready because I never know what to say. So how was your week?
How are you doing? Yeah, I mean, we took a week off for 4th of July, so
we can catch up on all of that.
There's been a lot going on. So yeah, 4th of July, mine was pretty uneventful. I went over to my mom's house, which was fun, and we both cooked, Mirage cooked, and it was delicious. We had a good little meal with the fam. Yum. And then we did not watch the fireworks because there was a major thunderstorm happening, like right at the tail end. So I'm like, I'm not going to go over there and then have to like leave in a frenzy. And that's what everybody who did go watch the fireworks had to do because it started down, like torrential downpour, loudest thunder ever, like lightning, like crazy thunderstorm. So everyone's like packing up their shit and like running, trying to get, you know, off the beach and out of all of the places where they went to watch fireworks. So I was like, yeah, I'm cozy and comfy. And Sebastian didn't care this year. So I was like, okay, we're not going to watch him this year. And I always feel bad for Toby because he gets so scared from the fireworks. So
yeah,
it's hard to leave him anyway.
The dogs like really lose their minds. Well, it is so scary. They don't know what's happening. It's like enormous. It's like intruder times 100. It's like an alien intruder coming to your door for them.
It's wild. Just been watching the World Cup. Have you been watching the World Cup?
Yes, I have.
It is so much fun. Tonight is Holland.
Argentina.
I want
Argentina. I think I want Argentina to win tonight.
No, Erling Haaland, you know? Like, he's every... Okay, you don't know him. So
he has taken over
TikTok. He's
Switzerland?
Like he's for Norway.
Norway, okay. So he's...
Yeah.
Oh, is Norway he's playing on, Argentina or is...
No, Norway's playing, I think.
England, yes.
They're playing England. Okay. Yeah.
So tell me about this guy.
Everybody's obsessed with him because he's just the biggest goofball and he runs with like his neck jutting out and he just like acts like he's just like traipsing around the field and then he'll just like do some crazy kickflip and score a goal. So he's just like the most bizarre player that everyone is like obsessed with. He's massively tall. He can sprint insanely fast. He's like a Viking. Like he's terrifying, but also like a Labrador, like the biggest goofball. So like I'm shocked you haven't seen him or heard of him because I don't know any soccer players like at all, but because he's completely if you watch like one of his videos, he's like completely taken over TikTok. And he's
I've got to watch it.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the game tonight because I want to see him play because he's really entertaining.
Okay, well, I'm going to watch. The first one is at two our time. So that's 5 your time.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So
we're going to watch after recording.
Whoop, whoop. I know. I'm happy. I'm happy we could do this before so we could actually see the games. Yeah. I'm going to go help my friend who's Fair Trade LA. She is like doing a watch party, but she has all these Fair Trade vendors. And there was a guy on the Cape Verde team who was wearing free Fair Trade cleats. And so she's just trying to get, because you know, we have the Olympics coming here. So she's trying to get the Olympics to be more fair trade. And it's like, so it's cool, but I get to watch the game too. So that's good.
That's awesome. I did have some embarrassing things happen.
Woo!
And the circumstances are a bit, you know, melancholy, but my aunt passed away and she was 88 and I think she was ready in all fairness. But she was an amazing woman, and you could just really see that at her funeral. I loved her a lot. I grew up with her. It's, you know, my first cousins. It was my dad's husband's wife that passed. I mean, my dad's husband, my dad's brother's wife that passed away.
I went with that. I was like,
And she was just an amazing woman. Everybody at the funeral was just, you know, talking about what a difference she made in their lives in small and large ways. And like, it was just really beautiful to see. I think it really impacted Sebastian as well, just to watch. He was like, wow, like what a life she led. And so many people loved her. And like, you know, everybody really came together and it was really beautiful. It was honestly one of the most beautiful funerals I've ever been to because there was so much, like so many people shared just their favorite memories of her. And you don't see that all the time at a funeral. I mean, I don't go to a lot of funerals, but I haven't seen that. And I thought that was really special. So anyway, it's like, it's my first cousins. This is my aunt, my closest aunt that I grew up with, you know, like a second mom that I spent every summer with and whatever. So like, it's a very somber thing. Like I, you know, obviously love her very much, miss her very much. Like it's a hard thing. But that being said, you know, both you and I are those people that like in the worst, most awkward situations, we laugh because it's like so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So this is what happened. So before... Before the funeral, like my sister and I were talking and my son's a couple years older than hers. So I'm like, don't buy, you know, dress shoes and dress shirts. I have that for Sebastian. It doesn't fit him anymore. I'll just bring it to you. We'll meet in the parking lot. We'll change. Your son can change really fast and we'll go in together.
That's so sweet.
So, of course, we're late and we gave ourselves 2 hours to get there. It normally takes an hour 15, hour and a half. So we thought, OK, we'll have plenty of time. Like who? Nobody wants to be late to a funeral. Like, you know, I don't like being late in general, but to a funeral like that's, you know, serious. You don't want to be walking in to that. So, of course, we're late and we're literally rolling up like 2 minutes after the funeral has started. So I'm like, oh, shit, like this is horrible, you know, and my mom like needs help getting in. She's slow herself. Like she, you know, it's not going to be a like a running inside kind of situation. So my sister at this point has gotten there and already gone inside and she's like, just bring this stuff inside. And I'm like, OK, so like we're walking into the funeral holding like a dress shirt and holding a pair of shoes. And I had given them to Mirage and he's like holding them. And he was like starts panicking as we like walk in the church. And he's like, I'm not walking into a funeral holding a pair of shoes. This is so weird. And I was just like, I'm like, OK, well, what are we supposed to do? And he like sets them down like inside the entryway of the church. And I'm like, you cannot just leave a pair of shoes sitting in the entryway of the church. You have to pick these up. Yeah. And so we're like having this like back and forth. My mom has like in the morning, she like couldn't, she literally was getting dressed in the dark and she like put on brown pants instead of black pants. So as I like pick her up outside, I'm like, you're wearing brown pants. And I'm like, do you know you're wearing brown pants? And she was like, nope. And she's like, this is great. And she's like, whatever. And I'm like, it's fine. You can mix brown and black and whatever. Like it's all good. You can wear whatever colors, they're dark colors. It's fine. So she's holding the shirt, like trying to cover her pants, which I'm just finding hysterical. And Mirage is so like he turns around and just shoots me daggers that he has to carry these like shoes into the church. And the whole thing, I just start to find hysterical because
really
it is ridiculous.
It's funny.
So it just gets crazier. So we walk in and of course, like my sister is sitting in the freaking front because I was like, if we're coming in late, like sit in the back, you know, but it is like our aunt, you know,
right,
like
so
it's
she
in
to,
our
yeah.
first cousins. So like she were we were in like a reserve section, like in the front. So we have to walk past everybody late holding a shirt and holding these shoes. So like the whole thing is already like so embarrassing and so absurd. We get in there and I just start. Like, and it's instantly like we're opening a hymn and singing and I just can't stop laughing. Like, it's so ridiculous to me. And it's like, it's horrible because it's like my first cousins are there and they're like crying and it's like a, such a somber thing and they've lost their mother. And I'm like freaking dying laughing because it's, I just, it's like the, when you're told you can't laugh or it's like a serious situation, you know, it's, and you can't stop. So I'm like holding my head down. I'm freaking giggling like crazy. And I'm like, okay, Katie, get it together, get it together, get it together. And I'm like, deep breaths. And I'm like, okay, so I get it together. And I'm like, I can do this. And then I call her my aunt. She's not technically my aunt. I guess she's technically like a cousin, but she like taps me on my shoulder and I turn around and I think she wants to say hi. And I'm like, oh my God, hi. Like, how are you? And she's like, your mother has a bug on her head. I swear to God. I swear to God. And I'm like, what? And I turn around and there is a massive black beetle on top of my mother's head.
No.
Okay.
That's
she has
so
a freaking
scary.
Massive black beetle on her head. I'm like, what the fuck? So this is even funnier to me because what are the odds? Like we get there, we're late, we're holding these freaking shoes and shirt and my mom has a freaking beetle on her head. So I like don't even want to touch this thing. It looks scary. It's crazy looking. So I take I guess it probably like fell off one of the trees as we were walking in. I don't know.
Sure. Just like
so I take the brochure of her life, her celebration of
no,
life.
No, you don't.
And I am like trying to fling this thing off of her head in the middle of the service. And my mom's like, what are you doing? Because she didn't hear like what was going on. And I was like, oh, nothing. You know, I like try to get it off of her head. And she thinks I'm like trying to straighten her hair out. Well, I guess I didn't get it. And it like went to the side of her head. And then like in the middle of the... So I like start laughing hysterically from that again. And then I have to like get it together. And then in the middle of the sermon, essentially, she's like going crazy, like trying to get this thing off of her head. And she like flicks it off onto the floor. And I was like, oh my God. She's like, there was a bug on my head. I was like, I know. That's what I was trying to get off. She's like, I thought you were trying to fix my hair. I was like, I thought I got it off. Sorry. So it was just like so absurd and embarrassing and ridiculous.
It is so funny. It is so funny. You probably loved you that funeral.
Exactly. It did. And I think my aunt would have cracked up at all of it because, you know, she would have.
But. The funny thing is you're like, okay, I didn't get it. Whatever. I got to get myself together. And you're meanwhile, this bug is just like camping out on your mom's head.
Yeah. Like, well, I thought like I did because I flung it. So I thought I did get it off of her head. But I was like, ugh, where is this freaking massive bug I just got off? But it was just like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Like,
That's amazing, Katie. I love it when it's like, it starts a little bit embarrassing, then it's a little bit more embarrassing, and then there's a bug on your aunt being like, there's a bug on your mom's head. And you're like, oh my God, I love this.
It was just.
You can't make that up.
You can't. It was ridiculous. So that was that. But funny. How was your week?
Girl, we're not talking about my week. I mean, we're good. We're good. I'm watching the World Cup. That's it. I mean,
what
know.
Do you mean? What's going on? That's you got to hear. Everybody wants to hear about your week too.
Girl, I know, but that's it. Like, I've been watching the World Cup. I've been literally watching the World Cup. I've been a Messi fan. I've been a Lionel Messi fan forever for Argentina. And then like Instagram, like flip my world upside down when I saw this montage of all these like really popular soccer players just not high-fiving kids. Like, who made
that
video? I'm like, are you kidding me? So then I was like, I don't know about Lionel Messi anymore. I don't think I want him to win.
But did you see the one that was Ronaldo versus Messi? Because my son loves Ronaldo and my nephew loves Messi. So it's, you know, most people I feel like love Messi, but he loves Ronaldo. So Ronaldo's out now, but I saw that video where it was like Ronaldo's like hugging every kid and he's like signing every autograph. And he's like being the best. And Messi's like snubbing everyone left and right. And they're like, this is why I love Ronaldo. But my Mirage said that he watched a video that was the opposite. So it's like all editing,
yes,
you know? It's like them
edited.
Catching these like certain moments and being like, look, he's an asshole like the other
guy.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure. And maybe there's someone in social media that's in charge of that or whatever. But I will say like if there is a person out there that is just like trying to find these disses and snubs, get a life, dude. Like, we don't want to see that. I was like looking at a recipe and then like toddler activities and then all of a sudden it's like, bum, 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 your favorite player is a dick. Like, it's just too much.
It's jealousy or it's people who are such diehard fans that they are like, look, bro, come to my side. It's better. Water's warm over here.
Yeah, like you're going to, he might be the greatest soccer player of all time, but he does not high five kids. And I mean, you know, having a kid, you're like, oh my God, that's so stupid. So
you're like, what a jerk. He couldn't even sign an autograph.
I know. I'm like, that kid his plan was clearly up to give you five. It was seconds away from your face.
So
get
sad.
It together. All right,
have a caller today, which is really exciting. So I found her on TikTok, where I find a lot of our callers, which is very exciting. Her name is Nikki. Her handle is @SurvivorRWON. So Survivor, an extra R, and then one. She shared her story, which was a super embarrassing story from childhood. And I just loved in her caption that she said, like, I didn't think I was ever going to share this story because this is one of the most embarrassing things that has ever happened to me in my life. But if it makes one person laugh, then it's worth it. And I'm like, that's what we do here.
That's
but it also is taking the shame away because so much of us hold on to the shame of embarrassment and like, I can't believe I did that. Like, you were a child, sweet baby. You know, it's always like, you know, when you have these child stories or these stories when you are, you know, a teen or shit last year.
It's like one day ago.
Like today. Like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe that happened. Like, it's taking the shame away and just making it more relatable and making it more, more of a connection, a human connection for everybody. We all face embarrassment. We all face shame. And it's what you do with it. And it's like, you don't have to feel that way. Like, one thing that happened or one choice you made or one thing you did does not define who you are. Yeah. You know? So I just thought that was really great. She's awesome. Her story's already gone viral and continues to go viral. So go follow her. You will love her. And let's hear her story.
Let's do it.
So hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for being here. I just gave you an intro and, you know, I know your story. Mary-Kate obviously doesn't.
We like to keep
her in the dark so she gets to hear all of it firsthand with of the listeners and be surprised. And yeah, we're here for whatever you want to say. If you want to add details that you didn't share, you know, whatever you feel like sharing, we're here for it. And we're excited to hear
it. We're so excited to hear it.
Okay, awesome. Hopefully I can deliver. I don't even know where to begin. So as long as I could remember, and honestly, I think I even went beyond the age that I even put on my slides, but for the fear of like judgment, I was like, I'm just going to stop it right there. I don't know what it was, but I did not like using the restroom at all. So like going to the bathroom, and I don't remember it being like a fear. I just remember always like not liking the feelings of certain things. So either like the toilet or like the you know, like when you go to the restroom.
I get it. I wish we could just eliminate that altogether, to be honest.
Yes. So like, you know, even though like the paper, you know, when you get like sweaty and then you sit on like they call it my family used to call it the ass gasket. So like you put it on the seat.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The ass gasket.
Yeah.
To like make sure you wash your hands and use an ass gasket.
Yes. But when you get sweaty, it sticks to you. I just had like this immense like, it was just gross. So I didn't want to do it, I think. Yeah. But I would go and I would just like, you know, go to corners or whatever, just get real quiet, just similar to like a toddler, now that I'm reflecting. But I would use the bathroom, but it got to the point where it would go in my pants and it would get not the full thing. It was like I held it, like nothing. I'm so sorry if I'm getting too much here.
No, like, believe me, we've had super graphic on this show, so don't worry.
We've had like people talking about how their butts were like fire hydrants and like splattered the world. Like, you don't have to worry about that. We're here for it all. We've heard it all.
Okay, cool. Because I used to like really just like stand in the corner and like kind of clench and like stay real focused so it could just like the feeling could just go away and I would just forget about it. But it didn't always work because your body would just like react, you know, at the most awkward times, like when like it just didn't tell you when you were going to do that, right? Like when it was just going to like, we don't want this in us anymore. It's just going to come out.
Yes.
So when that would happen, I would oftentimes be fearful to put like my underwear in like the basket, like the hampers. So when like my grandma would wash the clothes, so I started hiding them. And I had this like round table in my room with a tablecloth over it that went to the floor and touched the floor of it. And so I was like, oh, why not? Like, that seems like a grand idea to like, no one's going to smell it.
You're like, this is the perfect hiding spot. No one will ever change the tablecloth. No one will ever see
it.
No one will ever know.
The logic in my brain was not there. Anyway, so threw it under there. And the no joke, I must have piled up. It was literally the height of the table.
Wow.
When it was found, okay?
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, so granted, people, like, walk by and they're like, oh, my God, your room smells like it was it looked clean. Like, I had a hard time keeping my room clean anyway. But, like, yeah, it looked clean to, like, you know, like, I didn't want people to go in there. I remember I was like, oh man, I got to keep like it, like at least tidy. So no one comes in and like thinks like, oh, to look, you know, around and figure out the smell. And it took a long time for someone to really like catch on, right, when that person was my grandma. But so it was stacked up, but I started running out of my underwear.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a lot of underwear to fill up under a whole table.
A little tower of it.
Oh, it definitely was a tower. Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. And I remember it kind of like, I will always remember because when that table was moved, it was like leaning to the side. And I just remember it being like stuck, you know, like when socks get disgusting. You
know? Yes.
It was like literally like a hard mountain of chonies, like sticking to like other side.
Leaning tower of poo.
Yes, it was horrible. But I started running out of underwear right before it was found. And so I decided that I would go to my grandma's underwear drawer. And I was like, well, she won't know. She has like a whole drawer filled with underwear.
I love that you're getting granny panties like out. And you're
literally stole granny panties, okay?
You're going to like put these big panties on that don't fit you probably.
Nope. So like they literally like would pull up all the way up. Like I think I've mentioned like it looks like a strapless dress. And no,
I have to tell you, as someone who's been wearing granny panties for years, full disclosure, I love the hike. I love how high those things go. They go so high. They're like right under your boobs. You're like,
but on a kid, like,
so
yeah, she's like wearing that as a strapless dress, tummy, like on a kid. It fully
tummy
is. Yeah.
Tummy control. Yes. I get it.
Those are my favorite underwear to this day. Okay. I'm not
gonna lie. Same.
They're comfortable. They're comfortable.
So, I actually would roll them all the way down at the waistline. So, like, I would roll them, roll them, roll them so it could, like, kind of fit okay and then, like, kind of tuck it in. So, I try to make it work for myself for a long time. But so during that time, I was at 9 months old. My biological aunt and uncle took me in to raise me because my birth parents were doing some crazy things. Mm. And so my grandma actually lived in the household with us, and she was my caretaker when my folks who were raising me would go on trips and leave leave for long periods of time or go to work or whatnot. And so but sometimes we would go out to dinner like on the weekends, and I remember being out one time, and oh my gosh, this was probably like the worst experience I've ever had in public. Aww. With this, because we were, I remember it was a, we went to dinner, we went to a bookstore. So, but in this bookstore was like a one bathroom. And so I remember having to go and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this. But I already had an accident. I was like, oh no, aww, I'm going to get in trouble because of smell and I don't want to be embarrassed. And I just remember like, just like that fear of like being embarrassed or like, yes, you know, like seeing the faces or the looks of people around me.
Yeah. Oh, your imagination is the worst, right? You imagined everyone was going to turn and stare at you at the same time and everything was going to go quiet and they're going to shut the bookstore and you're like, then you get like the police called and you're like, oh my, you know, like you're going so far in your brain probably about how scary this is going to be. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I was like, okay, well, I look around and I see a bottle of or a spray can of air freshener. And I was like, oh, I was like, perfect. So I grabbed the air freshener and didn't think twice about it and literally sprayed it down the back of my pants.
Yes. No.
I'm sorry. Swear.
Look, that seems like a natural fix, right? You're going to just eliminate the odor.
Yes. But the thing is, no pun intended. But, but the thing was, like, I sprayed it, right, not thinking anything of it, and I promise you I will never forget the smell of it. It was like pine needles or something, and oh my God, it was horrible. And so I was like, okay, perfect, everything is good. I go sit back down. A couple minutes later, I'm like, oh, why is this burning? Like, what is this burning feeling? And I was saying, of course, I couldn't tell anybody. I'm moving around. I'm like, oh my gosh, it burned so bad. I could not sit down for a long time. Mind you, we had just got there. So, like, I was like, oh my gosh, no. This is horrible. And I was moving around, fidgeting, kind of like, I want to go home. Like, I need to go. come to find out, I get home, come to find out, it was so inflamed. Like, I could feel, like, this rash and this burning. So not only was it, like, it was, like, a total – I feel like now that I'm looking back as an adult, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's total chemical burn, you know, like, that I had. And
it's not
so
supposed
lucky
to go on the skin at all. And then it actually went to, like, an area where it can go inside, you know?
Yeah. Like, you spray your butt, like, your butt hole? So, yeah, I'm just wondering, you just sprayed down your pants, right? You just sprayed your back and, like, your butt and
like
stuff.
Down
but
your
you didn't
butt
spray,
back?
Like, your butthole. Like, you didn't spray, like, right in your butt. Okay, good.
I literally, like, sprayed it down, but it went, like, you, like, exactly where, like, the drip was. Like, it dripped all the way down. That's exactly where it gave me that burn and the rash. And I remember it being
there for
a long time, but I couldn't tell anybody. Yeah, right. I just couldn't say anything.
You poor thing.
That sucks.
Yes.
Because you found your solution, but then you got, like, chemical burns. You know, like, you're just – and it's all because you were just embarrassed. It's all because you just didn't want anyone to know about it. And, like, that is totally understandable. It just sucks that, you know, that – first of all, they got to discontinue that air freshener. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Like, you're going to accidentally – what if you accidentally, like, dropped it on your foot or something? Your foot's going to, like, boil off. But so now what happened? Like, did you just never tell anyone? And then, like, did those undies go under the thing and freshen up the whole pile?
If I remember correctly, I probably threw them out. Only that, but, like, I think not too long after, my grandma found my pile of treasured underwear underneath that table, because it just got to the point where it was, like, horribly, like, smelled in the room. And then, like, she was – oh, man, she was livid. But we'll keep it funny here.
Can I tell you, if I find that pile, I'm such a weirdo that I, like, love to do, like, make laundry clean. I don't know. It's like I wash my son's clothes, like, the day after he wears them. I'm like, oh, there's germs on here. Like, so I'm sure after all the everything passed, like, it was nice for you to have some clean underwear again, right? Nice for you to have, like, some clean underwear in your drawer.
I don't know. I think that whole thing got thrown out in the clump that it was. I'm imagining. Did it get saved or did it get thrown out?
Throws it and, like, scrubs it. Like, I'm okay.
No, I'm, like, putting it all in a massive trash bag and I'm throwing it out. You can get some underwear at the Dollar Tree. Like, no way. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well,
what happened? Did it get thrown out or did it get washed? That is a good question.
No, I'm the one who had to. She made me go in there and take every single one out and touch them and throw them in a plastic bag.
And sweetheart,
throw them out. Yeah, no, she it definitely was something very memorable.
Not fun. Yeah,
no,
well, baby.
Can I tell you that this is another weird thing I'm about to say, one of many, but, like, that could have inspired the most expensive art piece anyone has ever bought. Like,
think about the metaphor
of that. Like, a big bunch of stack of dirty underwear just, like, in a pile under a table. Like, whoa. That, like, might have been some kind of artistic idea trying to get through there for you.
You're
and, like,
an artistic genius. That's what happened here.
You're an artistic genius is basically where we're coming at right
gosh,
now. This is where we're coming
it,
to
I
you.
Love it.
I mean, people would pay a fortune for that. Okay? That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nicole, I have to say, I cannot thank you for coming on and telling us this, because, like, we've heard so many stories and there's such a uniqueness to your story. And but yet it flows into this river of so many people who have done things exactly like you've done, like trying to hide, trying to be, like, not embarrassed, trying to, like, blend in, try all of it.
We want to eliminate the shame. Like, that's
no
what our
shame.
Show is
oh
about. Like, we've all done things that we're like, why did I do that? When you're a kid, when you're an adult, when you're a teen, when you're in your 20s, we've all done things that we're ashamed about. And those moments don't define who you are. And we've all done it. So we're just trying to, like, eliminate the shame, laugh at ourselves, laugh at the situations, laugh at the stories, and be like, this is relatable to every human on the planet. 100%. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter anything. Like, it matters that we all have this collective embarrassment that we share. And that's our goal, is to just bring levity and laughter to it, you
100%.
Know, and eliminate shame.
I mean, you and I have already bonded because we, you know, I wear granny panties. So I know the comfort. You know the comfort. It is what it is. And we're so happy. I'm so happy to have, like, a comrade in this. us.
Yeah. But we really do appreciate you coming on and sharing it with us. And yeah, you're a great storyteller, and we gave everyone your handle, and you know, we just wish you continued success with your
Keep
as your story
going.
Continues to go viral and you share your story, and you're amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nikki. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's so great, awesome. Right?
Yes. I know. It's such a unique story.
It is, yeah.
I mean, wow.
I know. And amazing. She's killing it on TikTok. It's awesome.
Good. I mean, that's also great.
Do you want to give us the next one?
I will give you the next one. Okay, this is from Mike in Los Angeles, and I am so happy Mike wrote it. It's such a, it's like a kind of a common story out here, I think, but it's like he said I could tell the story, so. All right, Mike in Los Angeles. He writes, I have an ex-girlfriend who is an actress that has become very, very famous. We were just kids when we dated, 19 and 20 years old, and it was this crazy summer fling that has always been something I'm grateful for. It's been 2 decades, and this girl has gone on to become the kind of famous that seemingly ends your ability to function anonymously in the world.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that like, whoa, blow up.
But it does happen out here all the time.
Oh, my God.
I'm not there anymore, but I'm still there in spirit.
Now you know the stories. You've heard them.
Yeah.
So he writes, I'm also an actor and have been out here auditioning and dealing with rejection for a long, long time. Our paths split, to say the least. The television show she's on is a long-running detective show. I'll leave it at that. Along the way, my ex-girlfriend has thrown some day player roles my way from the show she's on. I got to play a homeless man struggling with sobriety who she grabs by the lapels and nearly kills for information. There have been other shows she got me a spot on as well on her friend's
set. Is it Mariska Hargitay?
Yeah, oh my God, can you imagine? Maybe it is. He actually didn't tell me who it was. She made a movie about chefs where she yells a lot at other chefs and offered me a role, and it didn't get produced, but it was all thrilling, and I was always grateful for the work. The old auditioning life for me went like this. I auditioned, then waited for a response while doing any job that left my days free for more auditioning. I mopped floors at yoga studios. I dressed up as characters for kids' birthday parties. And finally, I settled into making coffee and bartending and slinging drinks. Most actors that I know are in acting classes, working out at gyms, creating original work with their writing partners, and I've done all of these things too. Being an actor is living hand to mouth, month after month, while trying to afford your life and hoping to get a yes or something to be greenlit, and having a day job if that green light stays red for too long. The embarrassing part of this story is when, during the pandemic, after so much struggle and heartache, my friend texted me, and the text said, "Hey, Mike, are you still a barista?" It's an ordinary question, and I certainly knew how to make coffees, but even thinking about how many I'd made and how I'd had to learn to make stupid latte art and heat the foam just so made me pause. I still had the scar for when my coworker slung too much too hot coffee that landed right on my arm. I'd been yelled at for making coffees too hot. I'd been chastised for making lukewarm lattes. I'd been sneered at by Italian patrons because my espressos were weak. All that failure behind the espresso machine came roaring back. And briefly, there was this idea that maybe somehow this was an icebreaker leading to a bigger question. Like, maybe this was going to be a, because I wrote a show about a barista that's gonna bring this down to their knees, and I need a great actor to fill those shoes.
Or and like, that, yeah, are you available to act because you don't have like
your
you
day
know,
job?
You're not right. on a show or whatever. Like, you can do something with me.
Right, exactly. There wasn't a text like that. The texts that came in after that were more deflating. She wanted me to work for her coffee company that she just bought. Not in the marketing office or anything creative. She wanted me to cram myself into a coffee truck that went to film and television sets to make coffee for people working on those sets.
Oh, what a kick in the gut.
It's a kick in the gut. It has to be, right? And that's when I realized that to her, my friend, this was a big opportunity. My sweaty face hunched over an espresso machine in a truck and deflecting people's weirdness with a gleaming smile was, in her mind, a winning lottery ticket. The idea being, I'm not sure. She created a job for a person during a pandemic? To this day, I don't know if her phone was hijacked, if she even knew how embarrassing that idea was to me. I'm a bit ashamed of the very wordy no I sent back, and I never spoke to her again. I feel like out here, it's easy for people to get out of touch, you know, like it's just like easy for people to like shoot to the top. And then they're just like, oh, everyone says yes to me. Like, oh, this is what it is. Like, she's going to say
yes. Oh, you're an
yes.
actor trying to make ends meet so you can act. Hey, do you want to do your like side time job full time for me? But, like, when I could put you in something else that I'm a part of that's acting. Okay.
Or also, like, do you want to do you, if you consider yourself an actor, why not go make coffees for actors who are actually working? You know, like, why not go pass them a latte? And like, you could maybe rub elbows before someone screams at you that they're still waiting in line. And then you have to like, you know, cut it off. But you know,
people get really out of touch. They do.
And it's a common story. I mean, definitely.
It's unfortunate. It's
unfortunate that there seems to be like a disconnect, you know, where you're like, oh, I forget what it's like to be in like this auditioning life, you know?
Yeah.
It's wild. I totally felt that story big time.
I get it. Okay. Woo-woo. This next story comes from Quora, and Deftones fan writes, "This is something that I have only told my wife and close friends about and still keeps me up at night when it crosses my mind. About 10 years ago, my life was going downhill fast, which was completely my fault. I was making good money, but I hated my job. My marriage was failing. Divorce was on the horizon. I felt like I couldn't find happiness anywhere. So I turned to drugs. Within 3 months, I was divorced, kicked out of my house, fired from my job, got a DUI, and lost my license.
Yeah. That's like the worst. That's a terrible. That's a
don't do drugs, kids. They can really like take you downhill real fast. Okay. Yeah. I was crashing at a friend's house, just trying to get my life back together, but I couldn't get clean on my own. Drugs obviously aren't free, so I had to find a way to make money. I had been driving for Uber prior to my DUI to bring in extra money to cover my nasty habit. I logged on the app one day and was surprised to see it was still active. They must have not reran my background check and known that my license was suspended.
Oh, shit.
So I decided to start Ubering again and be very careful not to get pulled over. This actually worked for a while until one day when I picked up a couple who was on their way to the airport for their honeymoon.
Oh, no.
Like, what are the odds?
I don't like this.
We were about to get on the freeway when I see flashing lights behind me. My heart sank beneath my stomach down to my toes.
They probably ran the license plate. They're like,
Turns out I was unaware that one of my brake lights was out. He then asked for my license and registration and went back to his car while I was sweating bullets.
He gave it to him?
Came back. And he has to. What, you can't say, no, I don't
you're
have it.
You're giving him an expired license because you have a DUI.
But when they say license and registration, you can't say, I don't have it. Right. Then they find it. They look up your stuff anyway. So it doesn't matter. Right. It just saves them time. You know, either way, he's not letting you go.
Right. But I do love that idea that you're like, oh, this will all go away. Here you go.
Yeah, he's like,
but
maybe he won't be able to see it either.
He won't run my background check again either.
He came back and asked what the people were doing in my back seat. I told him I was an Uber driver and I was taking them to the airport. He said, well, Uber might not know that your license is suspended, but I imagine you do. Oh. I had also skipped my court date for the DUI, so there was a warrant out for my arrest.
Oh, this is terrible.
While you have a couple on their honeymoon going to the airport,
they're
literally
miss their
flying
flight.
Out for their honeymoon, and this is all happening. They're like, what the fuck is going on?
They're also like, we were in danger. Like, this kid doesn't have a license.
He asked me to step outside, puts me over the hood of the car, and slaps the handcuffs on. I'll never forget the look on the couple's face in the back seat. They were wide-eyed in disbelief while their Uber driver is getting arrested. They had to order another Uber while my car got impounded. After 3 days in jail, I decided enough was enough, and I went to a six-month inpatient rehab on my release. I've been clean ever since and have rebuilt my life. I'm remarried and happier than ever, but still have nightmares about that drug-fueled year of my life. Looking at it in a positive light, I'd like to think that I gave that couple a honeymoon story to tell their kids one day.
Yeah, that's the story they want to tell their kids about their honeymoon.
Right?
Like, you were
Isn't
conceived
crazy,
on this
though?
Trip, but there was this Uber driver.
But maybe it also saved his life that he got arrested because 100%. He was like, okay, I'm rock bottom. Like, this is enough. Bottom. Like, yeah, he hit rock bottom because of that arrest. So sometimes those things happen and his life's better than ever now. And yes. Yeah, they've got, hopefully they didn't miss their flight.
They probably did. They probably missed their flight and then they had to like get new plane tickets because there was like no other way. Ooh, that's a lawsuit.
Madness.
Yeah. Hopefully they won millions.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Reddit, and Veritas Way writes, fuck it, here it goes. So I was at work, and I had to take the Titanic of shits. I proceed to go to the restroom and sink that shit, which I think is pretty funny. It's like a metaphor. It's pretty great.
It's intense.
Before I flush, I always look. But what I saw this time was horrifying.
Oh, no.
This shit was the size of a toddler's leg.
Ew.
I know how you love poo stories.
Gross.
Flushing isn't an option anymore. I panic and start to look for a solution. Outside the stall, I look in the trash and find an empty Pringles can.
Oh my God. It was the size of a Pringles can.
It was the size of a Pringles can, and she scoops it out. She scoops it out. She is a girl, right?
Wow,
it's a girl.
Go girl.
All right, I know. She writes this later, though. But it's like, I was like, damn, she's a girl. I proceed to scoop the appendage shit. I breathe a sigh of relief. I flush the remainder and walk out of the stall. My coworker walks in and says, oh, Pringles, give me one. Before I could say no, she grabs the can and puts her hand in. she's like, oh, I want one of these. Like, she freaks out, looks inside the can and yells, what the fuck is this? All I could mutter was, shit.
Literally.
And then it goes, I still work there. Yes, I'm a girl. Yes, we poop. That's all she wrote.
That's hilarious.
I know, it's so wild.
That
it's
is
gross.
So nasty.
Yeah,
that's something Sebastian would do for some Pringles. He would just jam his little hand right in there before.
That girl never ate Pringles again. She never ate.
No, that'll do it. That'll do it for you. Yeah. It's worse than the like snake that pops out of the Pringles can. That's a lot worse.
That's a lot. This was a different kind of snake. This is a shit snake.
Ooh. Okay. My next story comes from Quora, and Luis writes, I once landed a Zoom interview with a very well-known actor for a magazine I occasionally write for. Ooh, we've got two well-known actor stories.
Ooh.
This was a huge deal. I wanted to look like the organized, polished writer my resume pretends I am. I pulled out a crisp white button-up and a blazer that screamed sophisticated but sexy. Oh. I had bought that blazer months earlier, but I could never find the right bottoms to make it work. Since this was only a remote interview and I'd be sitting at a desk, I decided today's the day I'm finally going to wear it. Hair done, makeup flawless. I felt sexy, confident, and maybe even good enough for this actor to notice me as more than just an interviewer.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Halfway through, he offered me his cell phone number. Of course, I realized I'd left my phone on the chair across the room.
Oh, no.
There was no way I was missing that info. Still buzzing with confidence and distracted by how flawless I thought my face looked on screen, I stood up without thinking. I wish that was the end of the story. Unfortunately, this is where one of the worst days of my life began. That's when I gifted this poor actor a full 360-degree view of where pants should have been but were not. If that sight alone wasn't bad enough, my underwear choice wasn't exactly flattering. Let's just say Granny Chic wasn't the look I wanted. Another granny panty.
What?
Granny Chic isn't what I wanted, permanently burned into that celebrity's memory.
Wear her pants.
She didn't wear them because she's like, oh, you won't see. Just like now, I could be not wearing pants and you wouldn't know. So he's having a Zoom with her.
Oh,
so she
right,
was wearing
right,
a blazer
right.
and a top. But she realized when he asked for her, she was like,
she got up
he
and
said,
she
do you want my phone number?
On.
Yes. So he's like, do you want my phone number? And she realizes that her cell phone, I'm like, didn't she have a pen somewhere to write it down?
I guess not.
But her cell phone's across the room. So she stands up.
Or like write it on your notes on your computer.
But she was so excited she wasn't even thinking. So she just like stood up really fast to go
that
get her cell phone.
That is amazing. And that what happened?
Ever since that moment, I take my underwear decisions very seriously. Of course, it was then that gravity joined in on my humiliation. I felt something sliding down the back of my thigh. I looked down just in time to see a shiny purple Trojan wrapper hit the carpet. The guy I'd been seeing had apparently used my desk chair as a nightstand the night before. So there I was, no pants, questionable underwear, and a condom wrapper freshly on display as I was standing frozen in front of a Hollywood celebrity for a full minute because I thought if I don't move, maybe I could manifest myself into another dimension.
That is not ever
going to
work.
So the best part is, like, I feel like if I, like, stood up and I realized that you could see me, I'm going to dart out of the way super fast.
I will dive. I'll hang up the Zoom.
She was not in fight or flight. She was like freeze. She was the freeze in that. She literally just froze. So she froze in front of the camera for a solid minute. And she's standing
panties.
There in her underwear with the condom wrapper for a full minute. For a full minute. The silence was deafening until I heard him start chuckling. The quiet laugh made my cheeks, the one on my face, flame even hotter. Then his voice started echoing from my speakers. Did your connection freeze? I wish it had. Well, not in that pose and not in that outfit. Lesson learned, Zoom isn't just business on top, it's business all the way down.
Oh my God, that is so good.
I love that she just froze.
That is
like she
so
didn't know what to
good.
Do and she just stood there and he was like, is your screen frozen?
Because
she's literally just not moving in her granny panties with her condom wrapper stuck to her
leg. Well, all I feel is like, does she turn to the side? Because all I'm imagining is that she stands up and it's just like her like bits like with a granny panties like just in full view. And then he just a condom wrapper sticking off to the side and he can see it.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. That's so funny.
Yeah.
And she freezes.
She just froze.
That's
like
the
a little
worst.
Like that groundhog. She just froze. She froze. It's pretty funny. I know.
It's
ridiculous.
It's so amazing. I love that story. I think that might be the story of the day for me. Okay. All right. This is from Lucy, my niece. Okay.
Oh, okay.
11 years old. We're going to, you know, if you have kids, this is
we
from
get embarrassed at all ages.
This is from
kids should not listen to this podcast.
Definitely
but they can
not.
You can tell have them tell us their stories if they want.
I told her that she was never going to hear it, and she's like, "That's okay. You can still have the story."
That
so
is really
she
cute.
Wrote when I was in first grade, I tied my shoelaces together, and then I couldn't untie them. I didn't know what to do, so I told my teacher someone else had tied them together. And when she asked who it was, I said, "I don't know." So I had to spend the entire recess in the classroom with my legs sticking out so my teacher could untie my shoes while
aww.
Everyone else was playing. It took my teacher a really long time to untie them.
Aw, what a little cutie.
I forget, like, you can do it, but you can't undo it. If it gets too tight, like, it's just impossible. She missed recess. That's embarrassing.
And everybody knows that you missed it because your shoelaces are tied together.
Exactly.
And she's also like, I don't know who did it.
She's
someone
like,
did it.
Someone, they do it all the time.
She's like, who is this bully of yours? I have got to get to the bottom of this. There's someone like, tying shoes together.
Are you targeted? You're targeted.
Poor little sweet babe.
Little sweet babe.
Okay, my last story comes from Cora and North writes, the apartment building I lived in had a sauna and a pool. I used both quite often, as did many tenants. In fact, I cannot recall a time when I was ever there alone. And there's no lifeguard. So I'd given blood earlier in the day, and stupidly, it never occurred to me that doing so could have any actual, tangible, real physical effect on me since I've often donated in the past. My usual routine was shower, sauna, rinse off in the shower, swim, shower, dress, and leave.
Wow.
So I'd come out of the sauna, and I started to feel weird. So I decided to skip the swim. In fact, I felt so strange, I decided to even skip the shower and just get dressed and go home. The next thing I know, I'm lying flat on my back, naked, looking up at the ceiling. It's the first time in my life I'd ever fainted and actually had no recollection of doing so. The bottom line was, I think I passed out 3 times between the shower room and my locker. What blew my mind and is a sad comment on humanity is that there were other people around. No one asked if I was okay.
Get out of here.
Bothered to check on me. An unconscious naked man sprawled out on the floor. Isn't that crazy?
That is awful. I hate that.
I know. Who were these people? I could have been having a stroke or a heart attack for all they knew. They were kind enough to step over me. And upon awakening, I heard comments like, man, he must have had a wild time last night.
That
blood
is
donations.
Ridiculous.
Eh? Live and learn.
Ridiculous.
Isn't that insane? You see somebody, probably there were so many people, they had to have seen him like pass out. And even if you didn't pass out, if I saw somebody naked on the floor passed out, Like, how do you not help them? Even if you do think that they were drunk or whatever, like, that's crazy.
That's
how do you
crazy.
Not, like, call someone, check their pulse, like, ask if they're okay? Like, it's insane.
I mean, I've seen shows where they have a hidden camera and someone will do that on purpose to see what will happen. And more often than not, people just step right over them. And you're like, what is your life, dude? What is going on with you?
I know.
Turn around, get back there, ask if that person's okay. What can you do for them? You know?
It's mental.
I don't get it. It's like, but that is a really, it is embarrassing. Because he's just butt naked and just like.
Yeah.
And also, that's an embarrassing get up, too. Like, you got to, like, get up and, like, get your stuff together. Like, get out of there.
It's just, awkward.
People
it's
just
awkward.
Saw your balls, everything. And then you're just like, oh, it was my gym bag. What locker was mine? it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, you just need an ally. We need allies. Let's do it.
Do you have one more or is that it?
I do have one more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so my last story comes from Reddit and Constant Address 995 writes, I was a cashier at Walgreens back when the registers were manual and you had to count out the change, but I didn't know how. So I would just scoop some out and give it.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay,
wait,
here's the change.
How do you have a job as a cashier and you don't know how to count change?
Well, this becomes really inspiring, okay? This becomes an inspirational one. So
okay.
My drawer was always off, but not that bad. So I was a good guesser. We also had to remember all the sale prices every week. And when I charged one guy $5 for $1 for a little half pints of ice cream, he looked at me and said, hold on. Went back and got 20 more.
No, your register is really going to be off
your
now.
Your register is off. They moved me to the camera department, which I was a little better at, but still not great. They moved me to the cosmetics, where I treated it like I was working at Neiman Marcus, and they were shocked that I was a part-timer out that was outselling everybody, the full-timers even, by a ton.
I mean, luckily they like gave you three chances because I feel like most people would be like, after the you know, that mistake and that your drawer's always off, they'd be like, all right, this isn't working out.
Right,
let's go.
Right.
But maybe it's like a really small town and they're like, this is what we have to work with. So
yeah, they're like, or they're like, let's just, maybe this isn't their gift.
And she did have a gift. Okay.
And right, she writes, I still shop at Walgreens for most things to this day. So they got their money back on me. So maybe, she writes, so maybe it's finding what you're good at and getting a little time and job. Hang in there.
Aw, I like that. I like
I like it too.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, we want to hear it. Email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us. See you next week.